Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, here we are, just as we are, as that beautiful song says, Lord. And Lord, again, I want to lift up the men and women of Clarksville and Montgomery County that are out restoring our power, clearing our roadways, doing the things that we just take granted for, Lord. So many times we take granted to flip that switch on and have light in our house, and we take granted for the people, the men and women that are out working as they do. And unfortunately, Lord, sometimes we kind of take you for granted as well. We know that you'll be there when we need you. And Lord, I just pray that we would open our hearts to need you more often and all the time, not just when a crisis arises. Lord, I just pray this morning that there's a lost soul sitting in here today, Lord, that you would anoint Brother Cal with a word that would reach their heart, Lord. I pray that no one would leave here today unsaved. Lord, I just pray as we continue to go through the rest of this service that you would touch each and every one of our hearts to be a better servant and to walk closer to you, because that's why we're here today, Lord, to honor, praise, and give you glory in all we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. It's spring break. Yeah. I never know what's going to happen on these days, you know. But you know what? Y'all have decided to be in worship in God's house on God's day with God's people, even during spring break. So give God praise today. Hallelujah. We're going to start in Romans chapter 8 this morning. We're going to start there, and then we're going to move to some other scripture today. But yeah, I think you'll see why in just a moment. We've come to the last sermon in the sermon series of being free from sin. Now, it has tied in with our theme for the year, which is, y'all, it's not free in 23. We're not free yet. It's getting free in 23. Anyways, getting free in 23. And what's our theme? Where does it come from? What's the theme verse? John. Billy, am I that bad of a preacher? I mean, really? John 8:32 says, you shall and the truth will do what? Set you free. All right, that's where we've been. That's what we've been doing the last 5 weeks. So we've learned that we are free from the penalty of sin. Say amen. Amen. We've learned that we are getting free from the power of sin. And one day, last week, we even talked about one day we're going to be free from even the presence of sin. Well, this morning we want to talk about getting free from the person of sin. We are all on a first name basis with him. So let's just lay that to rest, okay? We're going to start in Romans 8, verse 31. Would you find that in your Bibles? Let's honor God's word by standing one more time today. Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, if God is for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now watch this, watch this. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Now watch this. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God. Listen to this. Who also makes intercession for us. Father, we ask that you might bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired, authoritative word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the passage I've just read, I'd get some arguments today in scholarly places, but I think we're talking here about the who is it who accuses us? Yeah, the name devil means accuser. And so he loves to accuse God's people of sin. And he from time to time has access to God the Father and accuses us before him. And then says, who is he who condemns? Satan loves to condemn us in order to keep us down and guilty, and so we can live a defeated, so he can help us, make us live a defeated life. He accuses us. He condemns us. But did y'all know we have an advocate with the Father who pleads our case for us? Did y'all know we have an intercessor who prays for us when the devil wants to place us under condemnation and try to help us move towards a defeated life? Who is that person? Who is this advocate? Who is this intercessor? Well, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are going to learn, we're going to learn the truth about this person of sin. We're going to learn the truth about the devil, Satan. We're going to learn the truth about him, and we're going to learn how to get free from the person of sin. All right? Now, in order to do that, we need to roll through three or four things. But the first step in getting free from the person of sin, Satan, the devil, and by the way, y'all know he's real. He is real. He's not some dressed up character in a red suit with a pitchfork and a long red tail. He is real. And he wants to kill, steal, and destroy your life. John 10:10. So we need to recognize, first of all, who Satan is. Now, I've just mentioned a couple of names for who he is. That the term devil means accuser. The Bible also calls him Satan, which means adversary. How many of you know he is our adversary? He comes against us. And then the scripture also tells us that he is the power, excuse me, he is the prince of the power of the air. You know, Satan has a kingdom. The kingdoms of this world. He's got a lot of power. And the Bible also calls him over in the book of Revelation, Apollyon, the great destroyer. And the Bible, we're going to go there in just a minute, but the Bible over in Ezekiel and also Isaiah calls him Lucifer, the son of the morning. So the names of the devil pretty much clue you into who he really is. And so let's recognize who Satan is. And turn with me in your Bibles to Ezekiel 28. Now, if you've never been to the Old Testament, Ezekiel is way over there, tucked away over there. There's some critical information about the evil one. And you need to find Ezekiel chapter 28. And the first piece of information that Ezekiel 28 verses 13 through 17 is telling us is that Satan is a created being. Lucifer is a created being. Look at verse 13. Excuse me. Let's even back up some. Ezekiel 28. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say, I'm watching the screens. All right. Ezekiel 28. Take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. I'm just in a little up there in verse 12. Take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond. beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were what? Created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were what? Satan is a created being. Now, verse 15 reveals that Satan, and verse 13 reveals that he was created by God himself. And verse 14 reveals that Lucifer was the highest created order of the angelic host. I believe he was one of the archangels. And this was a powerful creature, gorgeous creature, full of wisdom. Just an unbelievable creation that God had made. Verse 13 reveals that he was given some type of authority over matters of worship. He led the angelic choirs of heaven in worshiping the Creator. Okay? So he's a created being. But Satan is also a corrupted being. Watch this. Look at verse 6. Look at the latter part of verse 15. Till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within. And you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stone. Now, here it is. Watch this. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Satan is a corrupted being. This gorgeous, splendid, had tremendous wisdom. This charismatic worship leader in heaven wanted to be worshiped. You know, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. Pride will lead you one direction, this way. And Satan had a great fall. Lucifer, in short, wanted to be worshiped. He wanted to be God. Now, there's a sister passage over here in Isaiah 14. If you can't get there quickly, I'm already there. So just listen to this. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nation. For you have said in your heart." Now listen to it. Five times Lucifer says, "I will, I will, I will." Listen to this. "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." Pride always brings up. God said, "Okay, Lucifer, you wanting to come up, it's down you go." And he had a great, great fall, and he was cast out of heaven. He's a corrupted being. Satan is also a condemned being. Now, I want y'all to, there's a wonderful, powerful little verse packed away over in Matthew chapter 25. He is a condemned being. Are you with me so far? We're going somewhere, so hang in with me, all right? Matthew 25, 41 says this. Or let me back up to, verse 41. "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire.'" Watch this. "Lean in, prepared for the devil and his angels." Satan's goose is cooked. He is a defeated enemy. He's created being, he's a corrupted being, but he is a condemned being. Satan is under the judgment of Almighty God. His days are numbered and he knows it. God has hollowed out a hole in hell for the evil one. Hell has his name on it. He is going to be cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That is where he's headed. Now, Satan has a kingdom. The kingdoms of this world. He has millions and millions of demonic angels that stand at his beck and call. And by the way, Satan has millions of children. You see, you're either a child of God or you're a... It's one of the two. There's no in between there. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Now, the devil is very powerful, but he's not all powerful. He has great knowledge, but he doesn't have all knowledge. And he's a lot of places, but he's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. Y'all with me so far? So he's a created being, he's a corrupted being, and he is a condemned being. Y'all with me? All right, just recognize who Satan is. Then secondly, I want to say this morning, and we need to go to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at some supporting verses. So go in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 today. We always do good on the first set of verses, and then we just kind of give up and watch the screens the rest of the time. Help us, Jesus. Realize what Satan does. Here's the second big point. Realize what Satan does. Now watch this. Ephesians 6. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say I'm watching the screens. Thank you for your honesty. All right. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may... Now watch this. Lean in. Don't miss this. That you may be able to stand against the what? Wiles of the devil. What does that word mean? It means we get our English word methods from that. Methods. Second, as a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 2:11 and 1 Timothy 3:7 speak of his devices and his snares. Did y'all know Satan sets traps for people? Listen to me. Listen to the preacher if I'm not your pastor. Satan has a strategy, and he's been using this strategy for thousands of years. Thousands of years. He's slick. He's subtle. And he's got a strategy. And if you're going to get free from the person of sin, you need to understand how he operates. When our military men and women go to war, do you know what they do? They study the enemy. They look at what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. They look at what the strategy of the enemy. They try to do everything they can to study their enemy. Why? So that they can defeat the enemy. And you need to understand what Satan's strategy is, and he has a threefold strategy. Are you ready for this? First thing he's going to do is he's going to attack you mentally. He's going to lie to you. He's a liar. He's been a liar from the very beginning. Every time he's got his mouth open, he's lying. And he wants to deceive you. Don't make any mistake. He wants to deceive you, and he wants to capture your mind. He wants you to think like he thinks, you see. Now, you remember John 8:30? We quoted it a few minutes ago. Remember John 8:30? You shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? So the more truth you know, the better and quicker and faster you understand when you're hearing a lie. So he's coming after your mind. He's going to attack you mentally. Let me just give you a quick example. Go back to, I'll go there, Genesis 3. Well, y'all might be able to find that one fast. That's like the second or third. Genesis 3, listen to this. And he said to the woman, that's the devil, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He's talking to Eve there. What's he doing? He's sowing seeds of deception. He's like, God may have said this, but he didn't really mean. Here's what he meant. And then he just flat out lies there in verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. And he deceived Eve. And bless God, she didn't want to be by herself, so she went and got Adam, and Adam did the same thing. Ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so our culture today is bombarded by lie after lie after lie after lie. I mean, that's what he does. He wants to attack us mentally. He wants your mind. Did y'all know Satan writes books? Bless God, he teaches classes. He produces movies. He makes videos. Here's another one. He preaches sermons. He fills pulpits. He's after your mind. And he's going to lie to you. And you need to understand when he speaks, he's after your mind. And then secondly, the devil will attack you morally. Now, once he's got your mind, he's moving towards your heart. He wants your heart. He's after your heart. Look at your neighbor and say, he's after you. Let me read a little verse over here in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil. This is Jesus speaking to the religious crowd of his day. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So once he attacks you mentally, he's coming after you morally. He's after your heart. Now, when a person strays from the truth, he or she will be on a downhill slide morally. When Satan gets a hold of your heart, you'll do things you never dreamed you'd do. Morally, you'll go downhill. That's what he wants to do. Now, I believe that the human heart was made to love God. You just go back here and ask our children this morning, do you love Jesus? And you know what every child will tell you? Yeah, I love Jesus. Well, Satan doesn't love Jesus, and he doesn't want you to love Jesus. He's after you morally. He wants you to love sin. He wants to kill your spirit, steal your joy, and destroy your life. Wake up. Realize what Satan does. And then once he's got your mind and your heart, guess what? He's going to capture your will. He's going to attack you. I needed another M, motivationally, okay? The devil wants your will. Now, in this world, you've got God's will, the devil's will, and your will. Would y'all agree with that? So which will you surrender to? Oh, that's good. Whose will are you going to surrender to? Satan's coming after your mind and your heart, and then he's coming after your will. Now, how many of you understand this? All sin is addictive. And this is why. All sin is addictive. We were all once slaves to sin. And you see, folks who get addicted to sin, well, Satan's captured your will. Follow this with me. Look at John. Let's go back to John's gospel. This is spelled out perfectly for us. John chapter 12. You see this strategy that he's involving with Judas. Now, Jesus is in Mary and Martha's home. And Mary is anointing him with some expensive perfume. And she's anointing him for his burial, okay? And she breaks this alabaster jar, and the perfume it fills the whole house. Y'all know the story, right? All right, John, listen to this. Listen to what Judas says. John 12, verse 5, or verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Where did that thought come from? Yeah. Well, it came from selfishness, but who did it come from? Satan sowed that seed of deception in Judas's mind, and he said, well, we could have, and Jesus rebuked him for it. Now turn on over to chapter 13. Now watch this. We're at the Last Supper now, okay? Verse 2, John 13. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So he wound up grabbing Judas's mind. Now he's got Judas' heart. Look at verse 27. What's he after next? His will. Okay? Look at verse 27. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, whatever you do, do quickly. And then he went out and betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Do you see the process there? He's after your mind, your heart, and your will. And once he's captivated your will, he's got you. He's able to get his will done in your life. And so, I guess the question comes to my mind, if we recognize who Satan is and we realize what he does, if we understand his strategy, how do we whip him? How do we defeat him? Let me just tell y'all this. He's more powerful than you are. And he's more powerful than I am. Let's go back to Ephesians. I told you we're going somewhere, and here's where we all need to get. The first thing you need to understand is that Satan has been defeated. Our battle is with a defeated enemy. He knows that he's defeated. Colossians 2, 14 and 15 reveal that on the cross, all of our sins and trespasses were forgiven. The handwriting of requirements of how we had broken God's laws and God's standard, all of that was nailed to the cross. And then you know what Jesus did? He spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. Who's he talking about there? That's right. The word, I love the word spoiled here, because you know what happens to a pit bull who wants to kill everything that he can get his teeth on? If you pull his teeth, what happens? Well, that's what God did to Satan on the cross. He pulled his teeth. He may seem powerful, and he may seem like he's able to do whatever he wants to do, but Jesus' work on the cross spoiled, gave victory to us, and the Bible says that he made a show of all the demonic world openly. I don't have time to unpack that, but you just know this. Satan is a defeated enemy. And by the way, Revelation 12:12 says Satan knows that his time is short. So why do you think he's working overtime right now? Because Jesus is coming. He's coming. Revelation 20 says that when it's all said and done, God is going to take Satan and he's going to drown him and throw him and cast him into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone forever. And so he's working overtime. But just remember, when we come against him, he's powerful, but he's not all powerful. And don't dare try to defeat him in your power. So how do I resist Satan? I'm glad you asked. Look at Ephesians 6:10. Now, we're right here where I wanted to get. Don't miss these next two things I want to tell you. Are y'all ready for this? You want victory over Satan? You want to get set free from the person of sin? Do you want that? Oh, mercy, that was a terrible response. Finally, my brethren. Watch this now. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so the first key to resisting Satan is remembering that he's defeated, but you got to claim God's power. Just claim God's power. You have the power of Christ if you're a born-again believer. If you're in Christ, if you're a Christian, you've got the power of the Lord Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit in you. Look at your neighbor and say, you got the power. And we need to claim that power. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and guess what he'll do? He'll flee from you. Woo! 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Ephesians 3:20 says, Do you not know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us? You've got everything you need in you to defeat him, and he's already been defeated, and all you've got to do, is claim that power. When you're aware of Satan's activity, just do like Jesus and rebuke him. Satan, you're a liar. Jesus is Lord. And he has defeated you at Calvary. My life belongs to him. My sins are all under the blood. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I refuse your lies. You don't have any right or authority in my life. There's no unclean spot where you have any right to dwell. You're trespassing on my Heavenly Father's property. And in the name of Jesus, I refuse all your lies and resist your power in my life. Get out of here. Claim God's power. You've got the power. Claim it. Now, verse 11 is even better. Watch this. Put on. Say that with me. Put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Four times we're just told to stand. God's got some spiritual armor for you to put on, and you need to put it on every day. And five pieces of this armor are defensive in nature. One is offensive. And I preached this passage of Scripture three times in the last 5 years. So if you want to hear it in all its detail, get on the podcast, okay? But there's five articles of defense, articles of armor that we put on day in and day out. There's the belt of truth. There's the breastplate of righteousness. There's the gospel shoes of peace. There's the shield of faith. And there's the helmet of salvation. And the one offensive weapon that we pick up each and every day is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, there's no reason for you to live a defeated life. You've got everything you need. And by the way, there's also a secret weapon available that most of us don't know a whole lot about. Here it is. Watch this. Woo! Glory to God. Look at verse 18. Praying always. How often?
Always.
With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Satan, if you put that armor on and you'll pick up that sword of the Spirit on a daily basis and you'll get involved in praying together with people, you want to know the reason why it's so hard to get people together to pray? It's not because you're scared somebody may call on you to pray. It's because the evil one doesn't want you to pray. And he's going to pull out all the stops and keep you from praying. Because the Bible says the demons tremble when God's people pray. And so you recognize that. We ought to fill this house up every Wednesday night. Boy, it always gets quiet when I bring that up in here. I know where the victory is. It's when God's people come together and we pray together in the Spirit. We persevere and we have dozens of requests every Sunday. Where are all of you on Wednesday night? It's our secret weapon. Look at your neighbor and say, he's crazy. I just know. I want us to become a praying church. That's our secret weapon. So there you have it. Claim God's power. Claim God's provision. You have everything you need to get free from the person of sin. And the question is, hallelujah, are you going to claim God's power and God's provision. Father, we've come to the conclusion of this message. And Lord, it doesn't mean a thing if you don't anoint it. If you're not on it, God, it doesn't matter what happens. So I pray, Father, for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place today. I ask, God, that you would do a work of obedience in our heart and in our lives. Oh, God, help us. Help us. Help us, God, to be obedient to what you've told us to do today in order to live in freedom and not surrender to the devil's schemes and strategies. Help us, Lord, to learn how to put on that armor and to pick up that shield and that sword of faith, that sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And by all means, God, give us a passion to pray together. Not just individually, but together. Father, my daddy used to say, two heads are better than one. And we believe that here today. And I don't even begin to know what everybody's struggling with, Father. But you do. And we want to give people an opportunity to respond in obedience today to what you want us to do. If there are folks here today, and there always is, who need King Jesus, who don't have his power, who don't have his provision, oh God, I pray today would be the day of salvation, that they would come and surrender their heart and life to Christ. And for those that are saved, and been eking out some type of miserable wilderness existence, oh, I pray, God, that you would set us free today and be obedient to the word of God that we've heard. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Father. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your manifest presence. I know that I know in my spirit you are here and you're wanting to set people free. Oh, God, do what only you can do here now in this time of response, this time of invitation. Help us just to say yes, to be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. The altar's open. The question is, are you going to respond in obedience? You need to come pray. Here we are, right here. We'd love to pray for you. If you need Jesus, we'd love to share with you how you can be saved. That's up to y'all. You got to come. You come. What are we going to sing, Andrew?
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.